Well, good morning and welcome in. It's a Friday edition here on 610 Sports Radio, all brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find him at RainerKC.com. Josh is off today. Jay Binkley's in. Quick turnaround after the draft show last night. Nathan Williams as well in producing today. Good morning, fellas. Good morning.
Talking NBA.
We're not going to talk NBA.
Hey, first of all, it's your birthday, man.
Thank you.
You're always the first one to wish me happy birthday on Twitter. I wake up and I was like, hey, Bob sent this.
I happen to get up at 3:45.
But you're the first one every year. It's like tradition. The first one's Bob. Was going to tweet at you, but I was like, you know, I'll just tell you, man. Happy birthday,
Well,
Bob.
Thank you very much, Jay. I appreciate that. A great birthday gift for you being here for me today. So
strippers
I appreciate
will be here in an hour.
That'd be a great birthday gift, right?
They won't work till 7.
That would be fantastic if you got a cake and a bunch of strippers jumped out of the cake.
7 o'clock is like the earliest.
Perfect.
Thing
be very good.
They're still up.
they're just going to bed right now. Is there glitter on the floor over here?
I got half price, though.
Oh, perfect. Because early in the morning, I like that. Well, thank you very much,
welcome,
Jay.
Bobby,
best gift I've received so far this morning. I left this morning, and I think I did the right thing. And you know, I'm going to ask you about relationship advice because you're perfect at that, Nathan, as well. Yeah. On this one, so my wife wife and daughters left out birthday gifts for me last night, and I saw them this morning. I didn't open them because I figured you'd do that with them, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to sit there and tear into the packages while they're up there sleeping. They want to be there when. And they give me the gift, and my daughter's been excited for like a month. She got me something. I'm hoping it's a beautiful new mop. I really am. I think that would be the greatest gift ever.
Mop.
Oh, God, yes. Clean that house, brother. Oh, you got to get that house clean and the nooks and crannies and scrub brushes and all that kind of stuff. Nothing better than getting up on a Saturday morning and cleaning that thing. I love it. The dog shed, so I vacuum. You got to get all that.
Sheds. I heard what you said. I was just getting ready to.
So thank you very much.
Ready?
I was getting ready. I was like, whoa.
I did see some crumble cookies there this morning too. Now I don't know how easy it was for me to pass those up this morning, but I did. I did see some crumble cookies, so I'm excited about that.
So what's on the horizon? Any traditions?
Not really. I mean, it's 47 years old, so I'm counting down to 50, which you hit last year. Right, you're 51, Nathan. Have you even hit 30 yet, man? Are you, you know, good for you?
Yeah, 27.
Don't get old. Don't get old. Stay young. Stay a baby. Do not get old because it sucks. Okay, it does. So
you can
hold on a second. You're 27. So I was 20 when you were born. Wow, that just puts a lot of things into perspective, doesn't it? Right? God. I couldn't be your father, though. I promise you of that. There's no way. You're too smart. So 47 years old. I'm 3 years away from 50. Hit that middle age mark, and I'm like, oh God, it just downhill from here. I mean, once you hit that 25 mark, you know, and you get the insurance cheaper on your rental car and stuff like that, that's okay. But after that, there's not a lot to look forward to. And I'm not one of these that like, oh my God, 50, I got to celebrate or 40, like 40 hit me. I didn't like 40, guys. I just did not 50s, like 40.
50's the only time I did some. We did it at a brewery.
We did. It was great. Yeah.
It's the first time I'd ever done anything like that. So I did it. Usually it's Texas Roadhouse.
Mm-hmm.
If it's your birthday, it's Texas Roadhouse.
Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah,
huh?
If I was you, I'd be at Texas Roadhouse.
Why Texas Roadhouse?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, for some reason, I have them sing to me or whatever, but I don't even tell them. So, but it's tradition every year. Go out and have a Shinerbach and, you know, a nice steak.
Yeah.
That's just what I do on my birthday.
All right.
So I didn't know if you were heading to a Texas Roadhouse type of night.
No, I got my daughter has a performance tonight at 7 o'clock, so we're going to go watch that. And then another friend of mine, Amanda. Happy birthday, Amanda. We're celebrating her birthday tonight as well, so we're all going out. And then tomorrow, man, boarding that jet plane for Smith Center, Kansas. Go hang out with Mitch and the crew out there, raise some money for the Home on the Range cabin and play a little pickleball. Excited about that. And then got another friend that's having Shannon. Happy birthday, my dear. Having a birthday party tomorrow night. And then my mother-in-law's birthday is tomorrow. So we got to celebrate my mother-in-law's birthday tomorrow. She was born
that's
on 420. So also the birthday of Don Mattingly on 420.
Right. Don Mattingly.
April 20th. So a lot of birthdays going on this morning and tomorrow and the next day. So that's That's what I got
text
going
line's
on.
All saying happy birthday or talk Chiefs.
Yeah, talk Chiefs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got from the 913. Got my first colonoscopy at 47. So I got my first at 42. I have my next colonoscopy scheduled for June 19th. And in all seriousness,
oh, this year?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get your colonoscopy. Get it done. Get it done. There are too many people that are too young that are dying from colon cancer. And so if I could give my, you know, my message of the day for everybody, it is get that damn colonoscopy.
And that heart check. Get that get, too.
I got a heart scan. Like, I'm doing it all, man, because, like, I have this fear that I'm not going to be there to walk the kids down the aisle, right? I'm not missing that. And that's why
fear.
I stay in shape, lose the weight, get the colonoscopies, get the heart scan. I may be a little overboard at times on some of that stuff, but I don't care.
You and I passed on donuts this morning.
Yes, we did.
We had them brought in here, but you and I both, there's a time and day you and I would have torn that up.
Oh, of course.
We'd have torn that up.
Of course.
We were, like, being adults about it. Like, no, we're
good. Yeah, we're good this morning. So anyway, but I think also, too, I get the hiccups a lot when I eat and try to talk for 4 hours. So maybe I'll have a donut later. I don't know. But I got those crumble cookies staring me in the face when I get home. And then
my dad once had the hiccups for 7 straight days.
Oh, if some people get it for years. Like, who was it? There was somebody famous that had the hiccups recently and was trying to get surgery for it. And
I tried to scare him.
Like 7 days. It was like forever, though. But this person had it for years and they couldn't get rid of the hiccups and whatnot. I forget who it was right now. I'm sure somebody on the text line will know.
I'd be annoyed, man.
But,
I'd
I mean, how could you go through your whole life having just hiccup after hiccup after hiccup?
I'd be annoyed as hell, man.
Oh, it's just awful. I hate having the hiccups when, you know, you're just normal. But
trying
to
drink beer during that, I mean.
Oh. Bo Jackson. Had the hiccups for over a year, he said, and had a procedure.
Yeah, wow. That's right. It was Bo Jackson. I was going to say, I think it was Bo Jackson, but I don't know if that really kind of jived or not. But anyway, hiccups, they stick.
Text all happy birthday, Bob.
Yeah, everybody on the text line weighing in this morning. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah, 40 did suck from the 816. I'm not going to lie. I hated it. It was like it hit you in the face. Like, damn, I got old all of a sudden. And then I don't know what 50 is going
to
be like.
It kind of sucks, but you try to make the best of it.
Yeah, because 20s were
my friends, so it was good.
Yeah, you had a good birthday party, man. That was a lot of fun.
It took beer. It took beer and friends. Yeah. It took beer and friends.
And that's what it is. Yeah. That's what it's all about, man. You got the people close to you in your life and, you know, you got good things. I'm blessed. I'm very lucky. Thanks to all of you guys as well for listening for all these years and giving me another opportunity to have another trip around the sun.
That's why I got hammered handing out tickets.
Yeah.
I was hammered, man.
And your birthday, it's so funny because I left the kids at home. We leave them home alone all the time, right? They're old enough now. It was the only time where I walked out of the house in my life with them and said, do not turn on the oven. And while I'm gone, okay, come back. The oven's on. Yeah. I'm like, I literally said, "Don't do it." Yeah. Oh, we didn't hear you because you weren't paying attention. You were listening to the new Taylor Swift album.
They have so many things when you're away on your cell phone. You can set the alarm. Uh-huh. You can open your garage door. Like if someone needs to get in your house, you can open the garage door.
Right.
Why can't you turn the oven off yet?
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, why haven't they synced that up with phones where you say, "Oh, my oven's on," and turn it off? But you can open, literally, you can do everything: turn the lights on, open your garage, do everything away. But what about the oven?
You can even see in your refrigerator.
Well, what about the oven?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Is it on there?
Maybe you should invent that, and that'll be your retirement ticket right there.
The oven? Why not? If you're away and you're down in Florida and you want to check and see if your oven's on?
Right. Go ahead and do it, yeah. Or they actually should have something where you can turn your water main off from your phone as well. Because I know people, my friend Britt had his dishwasher overflow when they were on vacation for a week, came back, the whole house was flooded. Talked to another guy, a friend of mine at the gym, and he says, look, my wife went to Italy. I go, well, why didn't you go? He goes, it was her trip and whatnot. He goes, I'm sitting there on Saturday night, and all of a sudden I hear this explosion in the house. And I go downstairs, and the water main broke. He goes, if I was in Italy with her, the whole house would have been destroyed. He goes, I was able to get it off. So that's something that you need to do as well, is have the ability to turn that water main off. So anyway, here we sit discussing things that only people in their 40s talk about, right?
People in their 40s and 50s are driving. Do we turn it off? Did I turn it off?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you do. You take pictures of it. Yeah, you got to make sure it's done. But if you have that OCD, take a picture of it.
I do actually do that.
Yeah.
I've actually done things like that with the picture.
Oh, absolutely.
I heard you talk about your dad doing that or whatever. Yeah. I like the same thing.
It's a garage door closed. Take a picture of it. That way you know you got it done. You don't have to go back 10 times.
Same thing, man.
Make sure that garage is closed. So anyway, here we sit. The new Taylor Swift album did come out last night. We will play excerpts of that all morning long. There's one song that everybody's now saying is dedicated to Travis Kelce and whatnot. So we'll play that.
Does that mean she broke
up with him? No, not yet. No. I don't think they're going to break up.
No, I don't either, but
isn't
that what she does?
That's what she does. Yeah.
Up. up. Yeah. So you don't want to be in a song.
No, you don't. But this one is about playing football and whatnot. So we'll hear, you know, a couple of those songs as the morning rolls along, because I'm sure everybody's going to be talking about it, because my daughter had a friend over yesterday. And we're like, when are you leaving? And she goes, my mother's coming at 11:45. We're like, okay, fine. Spend the night, you know, whatever. There's no school today for them for whatever reason. I guess because my birthday and Taylor Swift's album dropped, there's no school. And so she goes, no, 11:45 tonight. We're like, 11:45 tonight? Oh, we go, oh, that's right. The Taylor album's dropping at 11. We totally forgot.
She spent the night.
You know, I don't think so. I have no idea if she spent the night or not.
I said, she should have just spent the night.
Yeah, at that point
these
in time.
These kids don't have school anymore. So they're always out.
They're always out of school. So they said they had their little Taylor Swift, you know, album release party last night.
That's sweet.
Did you guys ever do that as kids growing up? Like, gather and wait for an album to drop? I remember, like, waiting in line at the record store for, like, Guns N' Roses Use Your Illusion 2 or maybe a Bon Jovi album or something like that.
Not that.
But nothing
video,
like this.
Video games.
Video games.
Like, you know, Tecmo Bowl and those type of things. Yeah. Drop or, you know, the NFL draft.
Right.
Things like, we have get-togethers and some nachos. I don't know why I had to, like, back down when I said that, but
I used to wait for that first pick of the draft, but you know, but for me I distinctly remember being in the mall for Guns N' Roses Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, right? And getting that, and then it was the spaghetti incident after that, and that album was not any good, but they were doing that last night, and I don't know if anybody, you know, still does that for anybody else other than Taylor Swift right about now.
That's
right?
Pretty cool.
Yeah, when I was growing up, you still had to go online and pay $1.29
per song
to be able to download them. You couldn't just get them on your phone right away at 11 o'clock Central Time.
Look at him trying to sound like, oh, in my day, you had to pay $1.29.
No, I'm saying still there's a small element of back.
Yeah,
it has changed a little bit since I was a kid.
It has,
yeah.
but I mean.
We actually used to buy these things called cassettes.
Yeah, the cassettes were great.
We actually bought these things, then CDs.
Yeah.
Yeah, cassettes, then CDs, yeah.
I love the fact that we're doing albums now again, like the vinyl's coming back out, right? Because it does. It sounds a lot better. And so Jimmy Buffett's releasing a bunch of his albums posthumously, obviously.
That's my guy.
On vinyl. And I saw that the other day. His estate, I guess, or whoever's running his account tweeted out, hey, we're coming out with all these vinyl. I'm like, damn, I don't have a record player, but I might get these albums because I think it's pretty cool just to hear what they sound like.
Do you know Jimmy Buffett's I think he's the only guy that have a number one fiction, nonfiction, in an album.
I'm not surprised.
Because he did write fiction. He would write you know, stories, and then he had a nonfiction about himself. So nonfiction is true Renaissance man for nonfiction, fiction, and album.
He's I think
maybe the song. It was one of the two, songs or album.
I think he is the richest artist of all time, and he never had a number one hit. I mean, and that just tells you how
really
popular
he
Jimmy Buffett is, right?
Yeah, he's awesome.
It was fantastic. He was the best of all time. So anyway, the Taylor Swift album drops. We'll hear from that. And last night was weird. Did anybody else was jonesing for sports last night? There was nothing on last night other than a hockey game featuring two teams that have already been eliminated. I sat down yesterday, caught last couple innings of some day baseball, and I'm like, all right, when's the next game on? And then I thought, Cubs Marlins, I'll watch that. Why not? It's baseball. It's on. The Royals are doing good. When the Royals are doing good, man, I'll watch any baseball game, right? And that game got rained out. Then I'm like, all right, there's got to be a play-in game going on tonight. Nope, no play-in game in the NBA's until tonight. I'm like, okay, what do we have going on? And then you got the Kraken Wild on ESPN. I'm like, those two teams aren't even in the postseason. I'm out on this. And so Josh yesterday said we should have changed the date to the draft. He wanted to do it last weekend. But now, looking at the sports calendar yesterday, the NFL could have just absolutely taken over last night and this weekend, right?
It was perfect for a draft special last night because we didn't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing was, is last week we got it in, but 2 weeks ago we were supposed to have a draft special with a 5-hour rain delay.
Yeah.
Against the Orioles, but they did continue to play. Remember, they're supposed to play noon.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
Play till night, so we didn't get in. So it was like the perfect night to have a draft show.
Yeah, well, you did your draft show last night, and somebody texted in, where's the NBA playoff talk? Well, I mean, there was none. So anyway, that's where we are right now, and that's what's kind of going on. It was just a weird night. I was like, I need sports. I was even texting my friends down in Texas last night, and his wife just had cancer surgery. Love you, Mel. And she goes, there's no games on tonight. I know. Everything was a day game. There's nothing to watch.
The All-Star break.
Yeah, it was. Yesterday was the All-Star break. So the NFL should have moved up the draft to last last night and had it this weekend, because now next weekend, not that the NFL gets busted out by playoffs or anything, but next weekend, that's a full sports calendar. You got baseball, you got the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. I know.
we'll know,
but fill my void, man. I had nothing last night to watch on TV.
It's like where the NBA dominated Christmas.
Yeah.
And the NFL said, hold my beer.
Hold my beer. I'm going to take over Christmas, and we're going to own this sucker. And so, you know, I thought last night would have been a great night to have that NFL draft, give you something that you were jonesing for. So I ended up restarting King of the Hill. I don't know why I'm into King of the Hill all of a sudden right now. I'm like, but I got to watch him. I was like, that's a terrible show. I'm like, it's not a terrible show.
Man.
It's weird. So anyway, King of the Hill on my TV last night. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, we will talk a little Royals baseball. They're opening their most important series and most significant series in years. We'll kind of go through that and kind of guess where they're going to be after that series. And you can weigh in on the text line as well at 913-586-7610. What albums were you waiting for to drop when you were a kid? 913-586-7610. But it's the most significant series in years for the Royals, and it begins tonight. Next,
shirts off and your friends lift you up over their heads, beer sticking to the floor, cheers chanted because they said there was no chance trying to be the greatest in the league. Where's the trophy? He just comes running over to me. Touchdown, call the amateurs and cut them from the seat. Ditch the clouds, get the crowd.
This from Taylor Swift's new album, The Tortured Poets Society, here on 610 Sports Radio, released last night. The kiddos were staying up late for the album release. Nathan, what song is that from the album?
This is The Alchemy.
This is the one that everybody says is dedicated to Travis Kelce, right?
They said there was no chance trying to be the greatest in the league.
Ah.
Where's the trophy? He just comes running over to me.
There it is. That's definitely about Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. So Trav getting into the lyrics already. I listened, I think, to the first four or five songs driving in this morning off of the album. And look, she's just tremendous and fantastic, you know, and everything she does. She's amazing. And so, you know, you got daughters and whatnot. Obviously, they're into Taylor Swift. You get into Taylor Swift as well. It's really helped me become, I think, a better dad, because I know what the hell they're talking about. Because everything is Taylor Swift related. And so on her album release day, we're taking what albums you were waiting in line for to get the release. And we got some people talking about Korn, AC/DC coming in. The Thriller was a big one. That was really the first one, I think, in our generation for that Thriller video to come out on MTV.
You just download.
No, you had to go to the store and get it. Yeah. If you weren't there and they had 10 albums and you were 11th in line, well, sorry, man, SOL. It's not like it is today where you just boom, hit the button. And
much different.
There you go. So, we'll play Taylor Swift songs all morning from the new album. But I think it's cool. Travis Kelce now in one of her songs about life, I guess you could say. The most significant series in years for the Royals opens today. Right now, the Royals are 5 games over .500 at 12-7. And my friend Britt sent me this the other day. He sent it to our group text. He goes, over the next 21 games, the Royals will play teams above .500. And that's a big test right now. 21 straight games above teams that were against teams that are above .500 going into the game yesterday. And so he says to us, what's the record going to be after 40 games? And I go, well, 40-0, of course, because that's where I live with the Royals, but they're already 12-7. So you have another 21 games, you add on to that, blah, blah, blah. Here we sit, right? But the expectation, Jay, for me now over the next 21 games for us, because they believe in themselves. And as long as they believe in themselves, that's all that really matters. But I think for us right now, for this team, and for this team to do things,
we're a good team. That's what it is. It's not a bounce back. We're just a good team.
I think the Royals should have the expectation, Jay, to be over .500 for the next 21 games. I think they've set the tone early to be one of the better teams in baseball, right? Go out and prove it. And if KC can come out of the next 21 games, 6 or 7 games over .500, that means play 1 or 2 games over .500 for the next, 21 games or so. People outside of Kansas City are believing in. I think after these 21 games, if the Royals are 6 or 7 games or even 5 games over .500, right? And they play .500 ball or a little bit less than .500 because it's 21 games or right around .500 ball. I think people are going to be feeling really, really good about where they are. And you start with Baltimore this weekend, right? And Baltimore is one of the best teams in the American League, one of the most exciting teams in the American League, maybe the best farm system in the history of baseball going on right now. They took 2 out of 3 from you in Baltimore. Repay their asses and start taking 2 out of 3
from
them, right?
Very, very easily could have been 2 out of 3 for the Royals.
Absolutely could have been if the bullpen doesn't blow it.
Could
and,
have
you
totally
know.
Been that way. Listen, Chicago, half their wins are against Chicago. I get that. They did sweep the Houston Astros. But
right.
They've had good luck against that team. They've won 8 of the last 9 against a team that's gotten 7 straight AL championships. So
correct.
I know that, but yeah, when you're playing Baltimore like this and a whole bunch of games with the Blue Jays coming up,
yeah,
both at home and on the road.
Right. These are big games, so this is going to be kind of that measuring stick for the Royals. And so if they come out of this thing and they're 6 games over .500 total, that means it'd be a game over .500 in these 21 games. That's all you can ask. And you can't look at the 21 games and go, all right, this is the record that they got to be. You just look at series and you take series. You take 2 out of 3 from Baltimore, and then you, what do you got, 4 against Toronto or something like that. The interesting part of the schedule now that it's all kind of jumbled up is we don't see the Indians until June, and they're the team that, you know, you're going to be chasing, it seems like, all season long. I was watching a little bit of their game yesterday beating the lowly Red Sox, and then Boston just kicks the ball all over the place. God, they're a bad baseball team. Error after error after error for the Boston Red Sox. But the Cleveland team is the team that you're going to be chasing all season long. So they got to win yesterday, but you got to kind of start to keep pace with them a little bit right now. So you've got an opportunity not only to stack some wins, but beat some teams that I think a lot of people around, you know, Major League Baseball consider to be very good teams. Toronto just took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, who had the best record in baseball going in to Toronto. So it's going to be a tough task over these next 21 games.
No, it is. It's fun to watch this team. I mean, they kind of got everybody buying into them. They believe in themselves, which is the important thing. Whether
right.
who doesn't matter who you're playing, they've gotten this point, because you can lose those teams and that'll bring you down. Like if you
sure.
would have gone out and just got hammered by the White Sox, that'll bring you down,
yeah.
man. But it's the other way. They're winning games. They did lose the one. Big deal. You're going to lose games. I don't care who you're playing in Major League Baseball. But you start building that confidence. You can win these games. You heard Vinny there.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in themselves. That's all that matters.
Right.
They do. And they're not just going into the clubhouse. Hey, another loss. They're taking it to heart, man. That's where you wanted these Royals to be, where it made them mad. When mm-hmm. they lost games, you get mad about it. And they're to the point now where they don't like to lose.
Right.
Which is good, because before, I think they just kind of stomached it and let's move on. But now they hate losing, which mm-hmm. is exactly where you want them to be.
Right, and you go and you show against Baltimore this weekend, and you win that series, and then, wow, people are really talking about how good a baseball team you are. But it all starts with that starting pitching, and these guys have been brilliant so far this season. They've been absolutely brilliant. You could have asked for a better start from the starting pitching. You know that I covet Marvin Harrison Jr., right? This is mm-hmm. a guy that I've coveted for a very, very long time. You have an
Since September.
How we can get Marvin Harrison Jr., and I got really excited when you shared this with me yesterday. You got a plan for getting Marvin Harrison Jr. here to
Kansas
City. Well,
I do. I'm just saying it may be on the table for you. Sitting there at number 3, which mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about 1 and 2. They're going quarterback.
Right.
Probably Jaden Daniels at 2. And then and now we've seen some line shifts to Drake May at number 2, but it's going to be Jaden Daniels.
It's going to be Jaden Daniels. You got to take
him. Caleb Williams at 1. But the Patriots have said, now they may just stay with their pick.
Mm-hmm.
They might get that quarterback, because I think 4 quarterbacks probably go in the first 4 picks. But
you think Arizona, if they stay at 4, is going to take a quarterback?
I think they're trading Minnesota.
You think they're trading with Minnesota,
I think
yeah.
they're trading with
okay.
Minnesota. So that's okay. right. But the Patriots said, hey, they're open to take phone calls.
Right.
They may stay at the pick, but they've at least – these teams – this is a weird thing. Most of these teams are letting people know, hey, we'll take calls. We'll take calls. But there's your answer. Now you're going to have to pay premium for Marvin Harrison.
But I would.
But there's your chance, because – that would guarantee you'd get him.
Because I was willing to pay 3 first-round picks to Arizona to move up to number 4 to get Marvin Harrison Jr. I'd be willing to do something like that for the New England Patriots as well. Now, you can say, well, they're an AFC team. It may be tough to trade with the Chiefs. We know all that kind of stuff.
Here's the thing with the Patriots.
But if you could give up your next 3 number 1 picks to have Marvin Harrison Jr., would you do that as well, or is that just me?
I told you I'd do that.
Okay.
100% I'd do. But here's the thing with the Patriots. They trade with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
With Belichick there.
Right.
Matter of fact, last year they had 2 trades with him. Bill Belichick was joking around on McAfee. He was on Pat McAfee's show. He's like, one time Andy Reid and I swapped 7th-round picks to keep our tradition and our yearly streak, because they'd even going back to Philadelphia, where they traded. He said 1 year. He just said this.
Oh, that's funny.
He says 1 year, Andy Reid and I traded seventh round picks just so we could keep our streak alive. That's what Belichick said. So, you know, man, it was part of that deal, part of that system. So, you know, they've been your friends.
Yeah, I like that. That's gamesmanship.
Robert
that's
Kraft
having a little
Hunt
fun.
And all that,
yeah. Maybe they make that trade, but I don't think it's overpaying where the Chiefs are to give up your next three first round picks this year, next year, and the following.
Well, you guys
year.
Have talked about moving up to nine or something, but it's going to cost you a lot to move to three.
Of course it is. But it may be worth it to get Marvin Harrison Jr. I've always said, Jay, is the Patrick Mahomes of the wide receivers. Like, that's the guy
it's
right
available.
There, right?
It's available. He's going to pay the price.
But also,
it's available.
Every GM at this point in time is saying, hey, we're interested in trading our pick, or we'll keep our pick. I heard a lot of GMs yesterday. Joe Shane of the Giants spoke yesterday, and he says, well, we could trade our pick. We could keep our pick. You know, the board's going to speak to us. Like, I swear that these guys go to some sort of, you know, GM schooling for how to lie during the draft and say the same thing, because they all say the same thing. Brett Veach, 10 o'clock here on 610 Sports Radio. But they all say the board will speak to us. We're open to trading our pick. We like where we are right now. They'll throw all of that stuff out there. If somebody says that, hey, we're open to it, that means come wow me with an offer, right? Come wow me with an offer to get number
Everything's
three.
Everything's for sale.
And if you're the New England Patriots, you need more than one player right now. Man. But also you could turn and say, if you're the New England Patriots picking at number three, you have a chance to get your franchise quarterback and start to build, because without that franchise quarterback, you just don't stand a chance in this league, right? You just don't have an opportunity to win. That's why with the Giants picking at six right now, it's so interesting to see what they're going to do. I would hate to be in their position, because you've got a quarterback that you don't really care for that I don't think is that good. But by the time you're picking at six, you're going with maybe J.J. McCarthy, who I clearly don't think is good. But you may have Malik Nabers on the board, too. Like, being at number six this year, if you're in that situation, that really stinks. That's not a great spot to be in if you're the Giants right now. And if I'm the Giants, I may consider trading out of number six. That's who the Chiefs should be calling, because they've got a lot of issues that they need to get, you know, fixed. And obviously, Joe Shane has dealt with them because he was up in Buffalo, made that trade to give him Patrick Mahomes and blah, blah, blah. So that's a team that I would potentially look at trading for, because the Giants are more than one player away, and they're really a quarterback away, and picking six, unless they're trading up, I don't think there's a good enough quarterback that I'd build my franchise around at six, because I think Michael Penix Jr. should go number one.
And I don't think the Patriots would do business with the Bills. In the same division, that they're playing it smarter. Mm-hmm. It's not like the Bills that traded Stephon Diggs to Houston, because
right.
Now Houston's a much better team than Buffalo. I mean, they just gave their guy to and took $31 million
Buffalo's dead cap. Moving up too, though, I think.
Because if Houston, they are, but probably not here, because I don't think New England.
No, they're not moving up to three,
them.
No.
But the other,
but Buffalo could move up to six, though.
They could. The problem with the Chiefs picking last, that because that 32nd pick is almost like a second rounder.
Right.
And the fact that you know they're going to be good for the, you know, foreseeable future, Chiefs are going to have to sweeten the pot. And not only your second round picks, always at the end of the round too. So
yeah.
You're sitting there with this last pick in the second round. So that's the problem the Chiefs run into.
Yeah, very big problem for the Chiefs. Who wants to trade with them? Who wants to deal with them? Not a lot of teams want to deal with them. We'll hear what Mitch Holthus had to say about that, what his expectation is for the draft. And I want to get Jay's reaction to what Mitch had to say, because I think it may be a little bit different with the voice of the Chiefs was saying yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio.
I'm watching American Pie with you.
Playing tracks from the new Taylor Swift album here on 610 Sports Radio, the Tortured Poets Department. Which one is this, Nathan? Who do we have here?
Yeah, so this one is less obviously about Travis Kelce. It's called So High School,
uh-huh.
And this is the Swifties on the internet think it's about Travis Kelce.
Think it's about Travis Kelce,
she feels
right?
So high school when she looks at him.
Aw, isn't that sweet? How about that? Yeah, that is that's good. I mean, you want those butterflies in your stomach when you see the one you love, right? I know. I tell my wife that all the time. She gets the butterflies when she sees me. And MJ is speechless for the first time, maybe, in his life.
Wished you happy birthday yet?
She has not wished me. Well, this morning she did. You know, when I it was one of those.
Nathan and I were first.
So, yeah, you guys were like first, like actual, like people that were up and, you know, wishing me a happy birthday. So I do appreciate that. To both of you and the text line as well for all the nice happy birthday wishes that are rolling in. We had Mitch on yesterday. Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs here on 610 Sports Radio. And obviously, he's as tied into the organization as you can be. And so when he's talking about the draft, I'm like, all right, what is Mitch thinking? What is Mitch hearing? Here's what Mitch expects the Chiefs to kind of accomplish in this upcoming draft.
Well, it's a very deep draft at wide receiver and offensive tackle. You talk about corner, and what's interesting is there another Trent McDuffie, because you can just feel Trent McDuffie, you know, slide into the Snead role. Well, who can slide into the McDuffie role? And that is being like the slot blitzer, kind of move around. They matched him up, Trent, later in the year on guys. And there's good corners, as we know. Nazi Johnson comes back from injury. But there's a couple guys that could be there at 32 that would be of interest. And they've got to fit now the Spags mold of the size, willing to play man-to-man, willing tacklers. Quinyon Mitchell of Toledo is a really strong dude, and he kind of fits the Spags corner profile at 6 foot 195. He had 20 in the bench, but, you know, powerful, strong, loves to tackle, play those bubble screens, which the Chiefs last year played as good as any team I've seen at any level. You know, those wide receiver screens where they run that tunnel screen inside, the Chiefs were spectacular at defending those time and time again. This will get into Kling's wheelhouse a little bit, but Cooper DeJean is one that becomes interesting. Is he a corner? Is he a safety? He was really good at Iowa, but he fits that 6 foot 203, big hands, kind of wants to tackle and, you know, kind of wants to fight you a little bit. He's small town Iowa kid, old adult Iowa. But those are a couple guys that come to mind that would fit as a corner, either late first, early second, if you do some trading or find a trade partner that's even willing to trade with us right now. But wide receivers, also intriguing, and then offensive tackle. I think the run on offensive tackles will be pretty strong in front of us, but that means they'll push him a capable starting wide receiver at the 32 spot. That gets exciting.
So there's Mitch talking about the draft, Jay, and he was like all over the place position-wise and really hit on the three biggest positions of need for this team. It's offensive tackle, it's cornerback, and it's wide receiver. Not necessarily in that order. You can judge where you want to put them in that order. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday or the day before about, you know, the offensive tackle. He goes, you know, we really do need an offensive tackle. I go, I know. I said, we definitely need an offensive tackle. The problem with the offensive tackle situation is like we don't really like an offensive tackle on draft day, but we love the offensive tackles and offensive linemen during the course of the season, right? And the only way you get those really good offensive linemen is to go out there and draft them. So Mitch was talking offensive tackle. He's talking corner to fill the role of Trent McDuffie, who's going to fill the role of L'Jarius Sneed. But then at the end, he talked about, you know, potentially getting a starting wide receiver with that 32nd pick if the tackle situation ahead of him pushes one of those starting wide receivers down. Jay is the draft expert. Where do you feel about what Mitch had to say about, you know, what he thinks the Chiefs are going to do?
I mean, Mitch is 100% right. I mean, I love these corners, but I could see a corner in the fourth or fifth round. I mean, that's where Brett Veach typically does his damage. There's a kid out there I'm watching. His name is Quantez Stiggers, right? And okay, he wasn't at the combine, but did his pro day. And he went to the East-West Shrine Game. Didn't play college football, which makes him interesting. Runs mid-forward, like a 4.47, but he's 6'1". Did go to the East-West Shrine Game. And you're talking about, I mean, a lot of people think he's fifth round. He was the defensive rookie of the year in the Canadian Football League. He actually played, he's 22. Mm-hmm. He played fan-controlled football league, and he played up in Canada. And that's interesting to
did
me.
Did he play high school football?
Yeah, he did play that, okay, but he didn't play
why
college.
Why did he play in college? What
for
happened?
For personal reasons, I think it was. But he didn't play, but that's 6'1". And
he's a defensive back?
Cornerback. Yeah. Okay. So he was rookie of the year in the Canadian Football League. And that's interesting because he's a fourth or fifth round pick. That fit in what Spags likes. I mean, I like corner, and I understand where people lose Sneed, and they're like, but the Chiefs do so well at that, and they're so built at the corner position, those five defensive backs against the Eagles. Offensive tackle, yeah, but the problem at the end of the first round, you're dealing with a lot of right tackles. You're even like Fuaga, maybe a top 10 or 12 pick as a right tackle as well. This draft is loaded with tackles, but a lot of them are on the right side. They're going to make the transition over to left side. I keep seeing Jordan Morgan from Arizona, who is a left tackle, but he's actually a guard because of the arm length, and Andy Reid's not going to play him at tackle. Wide receiver to me still becomes the premium position. I think in the first round, that's just something you have to do. I do think there's value at other positions. You know, I know people throw out all the time that the Chiefs won back-to-back Super Bowls without studs at wide receiver.
Sure, yeah.
But they also did it without studs at the offensive line. There was zero first-round picks on this offensive line.
Right, yeah. And I look at the wide receiver position, and I wonder, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, is it more of a need for the Chiefs or more of a want for us as a fan base? And I really do believe, like, and this is me speaking based on what I think the Chiefs are going to do, I think the wide receiver position is more of a want for us than they think it's a need inside that organization, because I know people don't like Kadarius Toney. People are down on Sky Moore, but those guys are still on the roster and they still believe in those guys and they still are going to give those guys a chance. Like, the Kadarius Toney thing is going to be very interesting to see if Patrick Mahomes is able to establish that trust with Kadarius Toney and really with Sky Moore as well. Those are two guys on this roster that are going to be here, but Patrick Mahomes has to see if he can establish trust with those guys, because they dropped a lot of passes obviously last year. Kadarius Toney couldn't even line up on sides last year, but he's going to be on this team. And so that's why I always wonder, it's more of a need for the Chiefs or a want for us. And I think the wide receiver position, I hate saying it, is more of a want for us than it maybe is a need that the Chiefs perceive. Because if there's a superstar offensive lineman that happens to fall, or cornerback that happens to fall at 32, they may just divert and go pick somebody at a different position. And all of us are going, where's the wide receiver?
If you bulk up and get an early second rounder, but it's got to be like 33 to 39, if you get that extra second rounder, because you could have that second tier run on wide receivers in the second round. The over-under on DraftKings, 6.5 receivers in the first round, record 7 back in 2004. In 2020, he saw 13 in the first and second round. But I think it becomes more of a need, too. Hollywood Brown has missed games the last 2
sure.
years. He's missed 8 games. Rashee Rice, you don't know what's going to happen there.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, you're going out in the game with Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore and Justin Watson.
Yeah, and then you got some issues.
And
that's a good
Brown.
Point, yeah.
It's not what you want. I mean, this team, the Patriots were like this. They were heavy defense. They went offense. They went back to defense. The Chiefs are going to shift around to what they have. But you have the brightest mind in offensive play calling, Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Patrick Mahomes. You have the best quarterback you're ever going to get. I can't ever see the Chiefs having a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
It's where you see and you get the most out of Patrick Mahomes. You have the luxury of having this guy, get him some weapons at the wide receiver position.
Yeah,
he's proven he can win without him, but what the hell can he do?
He's
with
his own
him?
Worst enemy, isn't he? Like, if he wants a wide receiver, Patrick, you just won 2 Super Bowls and nobody's at wide receiver.
He deserves
right?
that kind of talent.
Yeah.
He deserves to stretch that 3rd and 8 into a first down instead of bringing out the punter.
Right. No, he does.
Because
yeah.
it was full of that. And they lost 2 games last year because of bad wide receiver play.
Right.
Where they could have had a home game in the AFC title game against Baltimore because they had a better AFC conference record. I think it becomes a position of need. Now, I feel they could actually trade up in this draft so you're not settling for somebody,
mm-hmm.
a receiver that kind of falls to you at 32, and you move up into the 20s. Like, they've shown that ability. They moved up to get Trent McDuffie.
Right.
And that was right when they were still good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people were not as cautious of the Chiefs, but now they are. But I do think there's trade partners, but they really want the guy they covet, which I think – I hope that they do. I do not mind the Chiefs trading up.
All right, trade possibilities for Mitch Holthus coming up here on 610 Sports Radio. And I saw something at a stoplight the other day, and the guy looked at me, and I busted him out, and I didn't know what to do. We'll explain next. Rolling through a Friday morning here with more of Taylor Swift's new album on 610 Sports Radio. What's this song, Nathan?
Yeah, so this is the namesake. This song is the Tortured Poets Department. So, yeah, the theory is this is not about Kelsey. This is about Pryor. Love.
Okay, you're doing your deep dive research over there in the songs, aren't you?
It's been a busy morning back here.
You know way too much at this point. Yeah. What about the Ed Kelsey stuff? There's supposed to be some Ed Kelsey stuff in here.
Yeah, I'd like to hear about that as well.
I'll get on
he
it.
Says somebody he does impressions of his dad or something. It's got to be.
I think that's earlier in So High School, which we played a different clip of.
Yeah. All right, we'll get back to that as well.
We'll get it.
That's So High School is the one that they say is about Travis. Maybe. What is the Alchemy? Is the other one that maybe about
Alchemy is the one that we are like positive
about Travis. Yeah, okay, yeah. The Alchemy is what that is. I wonder if he's going to go by that in any like commercials this year instead of like Mauto, which I still find one of the more hysterical commercials. Come on, Mauto. Oh, and he gets so mad. Like, it's just so
people
good.
Buy those jerseys,
the Mauto jerseys.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Chiefs jerseys that
I've
say Mauto. That's right. Awesome. That's right. I would love that. What a great idea. Oh my god, that is so dang funny. I think it's hysterical. So
same as St. Joe, I'm sure.
I think that's great. Mauto. brought to you by Raider Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. We'll hear what Mitch has to say about a potential trade here in a minute, but I want your guys' opinion. Text line, I want your opinion as well on this one, because I was driving the other day and I'm sitting at a stoplight, and I won't say where because it may give it away of who I was, if the guy knows or whatever, but I'm sitting there and I look over to my left and the guy, he's knuckle deep up his nose, right? Like which is, everybody picks their nose in the car. I mean, nobody's going to sit here and deny that they don't do that, right? And so this guy's knuckle deep, right? And I look over and he looks at me and he sees that I see him doing that. And I quickly turn away out of like embarrassment, right? Like, I'm like, I just busted this guy picking his nose and he knows that I busted him and I don't want to embarrass this guy. So I'm just going to look the other direction and pretend like I didn't see it. What's the protocol there when you get busted picking your nose, or you bust someone picking their nose at a stop? Like, do you stare at him? Do you call him out? Do you ignore it? Like, what do you do?
I say you show solidarity. Stick yours right up the nose.
You do that as well?
Or you do it right back.
Yeah. All right. You do it right back to him.
Right back.
I didn't know what to do. It was almost like I was sitting around.
Roll your window down and
just flick it out. Yeah. Here you go, sir. Here's mine. I see what you're doing over there. But I was like, man, I feel bad. Like, this guy knows he just got busted out digging up there and just kind of looked at me and I looked at him, and then I quickly looked away because I didn't want to make him feel any worse than he was. It's not like he was farting.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
The final board.
Trent Baalke. That's what the board sounds like, right? He sounds like, that's Trent Baalke. He's the GM of Jacksonville. He's sitting there yesterday giving his press conference about what, you know, the nonsense that they're going to do in the draft that every GM gives at this time of year. Brett Veach, 10 o'clock here on 610 Sports Radio.
That's the only thing people talk about.
And nobody's talking about anything else other than Trent Baalke farting. So this guy, I busted picking his nose. He kind of looked away. And then you got Trent Baalke, who just continued right through like it was no big deal.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
Excuse me. I love it because he didn't deny it. Because most guys, oh, but this stupid chair. What's wrong with this chair? Look at the PR department.
Yeah,
say,
right.
What's wrong with this chair?
Right, exactly.
Like Orlovsky and the wipers.
With the wipers, yeah.
What's wrong with this chair? What's wrong with the beat? Excuse me, just went right back to the board.
Yeah, just kept on going and talking draft. It was fantastic. Like, that dude did not miss a beat.
You're not going to shake him.
And if you're like giving a draft grade on that guy, you look at it and you go, that guy can't be shaken under pressure. Nope. Because how many of us would have cowered and been embarrassed if we did something like that?
I think Veach would do it after winning three Super Bowls, you know?
Yeah, you could just get up there, excuse me, and move on. But, I mean, totally. I just think, I mean, like, just not the fact that he farted, because everybody does that, but he didn't miss a beat. He just continued right on.
And he admitted he did.
And admitted it. Excuse me.
But to say an excuse me or whatever?
Right. I mean, just to say excuse me and move on.
Pull my finger front row.
Right. Yeah. There's a goose over there, right? Like, he could have tried to play it off, acted like it didn't happen. He apologized.
Right back to the board.
Right back to the draft board. I mean, that, you talk about
just commitment.
Boom, man. You stay focused on something like that. That dude is focused right now. Yeah. Trent Baalke's got this board thing going on.
And
so,
the fact he admitted it is
so good. It is so good. Because have you
no
ever done that?
Did Trent Baalke just fart?
No.
People will be talking about
it. No, he admitted to it. Yeah. Have you ever done it and then tried not to admit it? Because I think that's what we all do. You know, like if you're in a grocery store aisle, you like fart in aisle 5 and you quickly get to aisle 6 as fast as you can and try not to crop dust anyone.
It's happened, but the worst is the elevator because then there's no,
running.
Like when you get off the elevator... Yeah, because that stays in there.
Yeah, oh, that'll linger
and
all day.
You have to let it linger. And that
yeah,
song
you have to.
Fart,
yeah,
song,
it's the Cranberries. Yeah,
you have to let it linger. Mm-hmm. But when you walk out, it's like there's no – you can't say, hey, man, this dude before me, he got off on the second floor.
Right, yeah.
I mean, no, you're done. You're busted done. If that happens on the elevator. It's the worst. There's no getting away from it.
Yeah, the worst is at the gym, I think, because, you know, you start exercising and sometimes, you know
you're at the
happens,
corner,
right? Yeah.
It happens more there than anywhere else.
Probably so. People probably do that more at the gym than
really
anywhere
does.
Else. So, anyway, Trent Baalke, man, new hero for everybody. I don't think anybody's looking at Trent Baalke and going, I don't like that guy. Like, I appreciate it.
That's somebody
you.
I'm doing business with. You want to trade up? That's the guy.
And maybe,
Mr. Fart.
But do you think we could trade up with Jacksonville? Do you think Trent Baalke, because what Mitch is about to say may actually now include Trent Baalke. Mitch talked yesterday a little bit about trading up with teams that have general managers that are kind of comfortable with their own jobs. And if you can fart, admit it, and continue on, you're comfortable in your job. Trent Baalke may be another candidate now that the Chiefs can trade with.
It's a very real dynamic. This isn't just a ha-ha comment and let's chuckle, because we have seen Brett Veach be able to move up or down. He sees what he wants. He goes and gets it. I think that he's going to be a little bit handcuffed because nobody wants to be the team to trade with the Chiefs right now. And we joke, and it sounds like a statement of hubris, but if you better be a very secure GM, probably in the NFC, to make a trade with the Chiefs right now. There has just been this attitude in talking with our scouts when they've either gone to Senior Bowl or Combine or people where, oh, it's the Chiefs. Don't talk to them. Like, what secrets will they pick up? If you're a GM who is a little bit insecure and you want to nail this draft and you trade with the Chiefs in any way, shape, or form, all of a sudden that becomes a negative, not only within the league, but within your own franchise. It sucks. So – it's a very real thing, and the Chiefs have to be prepared not to find very many trade partners at all and be able to nail these picks again, which what Brett Veach has done. He has strung together great drafts, hard to do, but he's done it. When you look at the 2021, 22, and 23 drafts, the 22 draft, amazing with all his defensive guys and Pacheco. And then you look at what was happening with happened last year. Shamari Connor was very impactful coming in. It's a big spring. You'll see Felix on Saturday. Felix and Yudiki Ozama will be in Smith Center.
Nice.
Big spring for him. And then the 21 draft. You know, we saw with those guys, with Creed and Trey and those guys.
That's Mitch talking about who they can possibly trade with. And you start to think about some NFC GMs that are, you know, comfortable in their own skin. And we kind of went through the list yesterday. There's not many of them on that list. But I would think now, even though he's in the AFC and a direct competitor to the Chiefs, Trent Baalke is one of those GMs that is definitely content with who he is and very comfortable in his skin. If you can fart at a press conference, admit it, and move on, and nobody says anything and you don't care, you're comfortable in what you're doing as an NFL GM. So I would now put Jacksonville on that list as teams that I could potentially trade with because they clearly have a confident GM.
And with Doug Peterson there, I mean, it's, you know, friendly fire at this point. Now, some people would say the Chiefs could trade with the Rams at 19.
I thought the Rams is another interesting
one,
too.
But the
one
thing about the Rams that's interesting to me is they haven't had a first-round pick since 16.
Okay.
Because remember, the Rams have been known for getting rid of first-round picks.
Right.
They got them to a Super Bowl and they won it, but they haven't had one.
Right.
And now they finally have one, the first time in 7 years to get that first round
pick.
But
they're the same team that said F them picks, right?
They could be that team, but 32. I'm looking more.
Are you, wait, hang on a second. They haven't had a first round pick since 2016.
I don't think it's been since 2016.
That's almost a decade. I mean, that's a long time to not have a first-round pick. And they've been to two Super Bowls since then, right?
Got him a Super Bowl ring. So.
Got him a ring and got him to another one. So at this point in time, if you're the Rams, why bother doing a first-round pick right now? Trade that sucker to the Chiefs. Let them move up to 19.
I think 23 becomes really interesting with Arizona.
Is 19 a far enough move up, though, to really get what you want? Because you're going to have to pay to move up. And if you're not paying up to move up to 3 or 4, are you really going to get what you want worth the value of trading up to 19?
Well, I mean, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. may be sitting out there because a lot of people, you know, have him earmarked to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 20. So okay. If he starts sliding, I mean, that's a guy that you could trade up for and get at 17. And if Bauer slides, I know a lot of people had him going number 18 to the Bengals. I would hate to see Bowers with the Bengals. That guy, that would be a move to not only get the best tight end in the draft that we've seen in decades, but the fact he'd be trading up and keeping away from the Cincinnati Bengals as well would be a twofold thing. Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting. I still think 23, if the Cardinals trade with the Vikings and all of a sudden the Cardinals are sitting there with 23 and 27, the Cardinals have the most picks in the draft, 11 mm-hmm. picks this year, so they have more and more opportunities, a couple picks in the second round. Would they? And I think 23 might be a spot for Kansas City as well. 23 or 27.
23 or 27. So moving up from 32 to 27, I know it doesn't sound like much, but how big a difference does that make?
Most of all picks are Cardinals, Rams, and Packers. They have 11. Fewest is the Bears sitting with 4.
Yeah.
But the most are the Cardinals, Rams, and Packers. So they would be teams.
And they're all NFC teams, which is actually good for
us.
They'd
be looking to jettison some of those picks because you don't have the contract money to pay.
To pay 11 guys, right? So you're going to have the opportunity to trade some picks. So that's something to keep an eye on. 610 Sports Radio's NFL Draft Party at the Landing in Liberty on Thursday. It's all brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Go there and fill out your draft pick sheet because a winner, whoever predicts the draft the best, is going to receive $610 plus autographed Chiefs merchandise. We'll all be up there as well. The Characters Concerned crew, Jay Binkley and Chris Unocero, will be broadcasting live during the first round. I said to Jay this morning, I said, how long are you going to be on the air? He goes, probably about 5 hours for that first round, right? You're probably going to be on the air at about 11 o'clock that night up at the Landing in Liberty.
Wait till
watching
the Chiefs pick, right? Well, pick
and that's the thing.
Point.
They're picking at 32, yeah, right?
At this point. And
if they, maybe they'll trade up to 4 and we can all leave at 7.
I never forget the year they got Fisher.
Yeah.
1 overall.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing like a draft special out there. I think I was with TV5 or something at this point. And it was full. I mean, it had the dome full, the practice facility full of people.
Right.
It was the first pick and then gone.
God, everybody left.
Pick, like they had this party and yet everybody gone after the first pick. So, nothing to see here.
Well, there's nothing else to see.
And
we
the
got
team
our
was
guy,
so bad
right?
in 12, you
yeah.
know. Like, you
but
know.
Eric Fisher, I mean, he was a really good pick. I mean, if you could find a guy like that in this year's draft that can be your left tackle for 7 or 8 years.
I mean,
they made the right choice.
That was
the first draft pick that this organization made with Andy Reid was Eric Fisher. That was the first year that he came in, and they have
that
seriously.
That was not a good year to be number
and it
one.
Was not a good year. There was, like, you go back and look at that entire draft, like, literally everybody flamed out in the first round of that draft. The Chiefs have been making great picks since the day they walked in the door with one over all with Eric Fisher. I mean, since then, they have hit on just about every single pick that they've had on their radar, and they've done a great job with it. And so that really started with Eric Fisher because there was a lot of talk about Luke Jokel that day, too. Remember?
He played the SEC and the Big 12 because A&M had transitioned between both conferences there.
And I remember being at the red carpet in New York that year for the Chiefs having that one overall pick and seeing Eric Fisher and seeing Luke Jokel, and you look at Jokel, you're like, wow, that guy's a beast. And you're right, he played in the SEC and the Big 12, and here's Eric Fisher who played in the MAC, and you're like, you're really going to take a MAC guy? But since then, I mean, this is one of those organizations that you just don't doubt when they pick a guy.
By the way, I looked up the Rams. You know their last first-round pick was?
Who?
Jared Goff.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
2016. Not only that, the funny thing about the Rams is...
Was that in St. Louis, or had they... I think that was probably in St. Louis. I don't think they moved until 2017, if I'm not mistaken. Or I could be wrong about that.
2016 was Jared Goff. And the funny thing, too, is the Puka pick.
Yeah.
That was their third fifth-round pick last year. So it wasn't, you know, picked at the first pick in the fifth round. That was the Rams' third pick in the fifth round was Puka.
Crazy.
So they passed on him twice in that round before getting Puka, the best receiver in the draft.
They played their final season in 2015 in St. Louis.
So he
the
was
pick
first.
Was made before they played at
Yale. So
this
was in L.A.
So, that's wild when you think about how long it's been since the Rams
and
have
Todd
had.
Todd Gurley was the last pick in St. Louis.
Yeah, that's wild, man, to think about how long it's been since the Rams have had a first-round draft pick. Well, speaking of time to lock guys up, I think you look around and you see the Royals Bills right now with the most important series that they're going to face in a long time, the most significant stretch of games coming up that they've had probably in a decade. But you have to start thinking now with this team off to a good start, with the stadium thing still unsettled right now, what are the Royals going to do moving forward? You've got Salvi locked up. You've got Bobby Witt locked up. Who should be the next player to get a long-term deal from this team? And I still think they need to spend more money on their product. John Sherman still needs to show that, you know, he's going to go out there and spend. I think there are still fans that question what he's going to be as owner. And if you start committing long-term to more of your younger players and your younger core, I think that's going to get fans very, very excited. And you got to do more, you know, moving forward than just having Bobby Witt locked up. And I think John Sherman's biggest job for the rest of this baseball season is to win the trust of Kansas City and win the trust of the Kansas City fan to show that he really is going to be a great owner. And it's somebody that we can support with the new stadium when we try to get that back on the ballot. And so how do you gain the trust? You win, but you also keep your players. And so this offseason, I think John Sherman and the Royals, Jay, need to commit to signing both Reagans and Singer to long-term deals. Make those guys the 1-2 punch at the top of your rotation for years to come. You got Bobby Witt there, and you have the core starting to develop. You got Salvi for a couple of more years. You get Reagans and Brady Singer locked up this offseason, people are really going to buy into John Sherman and this Royals organization, and I think that will help the perception of John Sherman, and hopefully when we talk about stadium again, people are like, yeah, John got Bobby Witt locked up, he's got Singer locked up, he's got Cole Reagans locked up. I think that's the most important thing that he can do over the next 8 months to the end of the year is to lock those two guys up. If the team wins, players get locked up, fans will be really, really happy because we'll start seeing things we probably haven't seen since Ewing Kauffman was the owner of this franchise.
I'm with you on Cole Reagans. He's played that one-year contract this year. $753,000.
Not making any money, is he?
He's got this 1 year. He's just this year. So, yes, Cole Reagans would be top of the list.
Yeah, top of the list. And I know, look, Brady Singer still got a little bit more time and maybe a little bit more prove it to do to some folks. But, I mean, my God, Brady Singer has not given up more than two runs in a start so far this season. And so I think you have to start projecting out where this roster is going to be and what they're going to do and really think outside the box a little bit too. If you're the Royals, they did it with Bobby Witt. I swear a lot of people didn't believe they would ever get Bobby Witt locked up to a long-term deal and that he probably played this thing out, because that's what we're used to. But the Royals and John Sherman, Jay, have shown what we've been used to as baseball fans in this town is not the way they're going to do business. And could you imagine, you know, the Chiefs are in the midst of a playoff race in December and January, and all of a sudden the Royals announce, hey, we've signed Cole Reagans, we've signed Brady Singer up to long-term deals, and we've got them as the 1-2 punch at the top of our rotation. Do you know how much easier J.J. Piccolo's job is going to be, yeah, knowing that you have those two guys locked up, knowing you have 1 and 2 in your rotation locked up, knowing you have an MVP candidate at shortstop locked up for a long period of time? I don't know, man. Two Cy Young candidates and an MVP candidate locked up for the next 5 to 10 years here in Kansas City. That sounds pretty darn good to me. And I think that's where they need to concentrate their efforts and locking those two guys up and saying, screw it, man. We're going for this thing.
And make some news there in the fall where it's, we don't have news because people want to care about, did you beat Houston?
Right.
The Chiefs beat Houston. What? Make the noise and lock those guys up. 100% get that core, man.
Yeah, get that core ready
to
go.
Go wild about it, but keep the core.
And then maybe Michael Garcia becomes part of that core as well. Massey probably will be up sooner rather than later. We'll see what he, you know, is all about. And look, MJ's playing really good right now. You know, I know he's in a little bit of a hitting slump, and Vinny as well. I mean, you're starting to see what winning baseball organizations are all about. Develop that talent, get them up to the big league level, let them play well, pay them, and then lock them up so fans don't have to sit around and worry, and you've solidified your team and you've made your job easier for the general manager where he doesn't have to go out and find a new team every single year.
Have the team win games, build stability, and all of a sudden you get a new stadium.
And then you get a new stadium, and that's how it gets done. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, we're going to take a blast from the past and hear about the first day that Patrick Mahomes became a Chief. That's next.